we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Welcome to America Out Loud Pulse. What is America Out Loud Pulse? Well, it's every 5 p.m. during the week, and we get Thursdays at 5 p.m., and we are Peter Bregan, Peter R. Bregan, M.D. Who are you?
I'm Ginger Bregan.
Ginger Bregan, okay. And we are together here, and we believe in love. There, guess, start right out. We believe in love, and we love America Out Loud. If you want to go to a place where you can hear always good radio conversation about life, go to America Out Loud. If you want to focus more usually on medical, but not always like today, go to America Out Loud Pulse, where some of their real stars are, like Ginger Bregan, who you can only hear on America Out Loud Pulse. That's how unique this format is, created by Malcolm. Today, we have a guest that we just love. We love this man. We admire this man. We respect this man. He's a dear human being. He's propelled by God. His name is Patrick Coffin. And he has the Patrick Coffin Show. He just showed us a picture of himself and the real Pope. And I want him to tell us about that picture and when it was taken and try to let you envision it. But he's really quite close to the Pope when he's in this picture. It's not one of those kiss my ring things. This is like, hi, chum. So Patrick Coffin, we're going to talk about stuff today about the church that will inspire you and dismay you. And we're going to talk about globalism and the church, because, folks, everything we need to think about today to protect America has something to do with standing up to globalism. So Patrick Coffin, God bless you. He has, and I'm just smiling here. So glad, and so are you. And oh, Ginger's smiling too. She's overcoming her inhibitions. She's smiling on the radio. Ginger announced she made a big mistake before we began today, Patrick. She said she'd given up controlling me on the show.
Apparently, I haven't given up controlling him. I just gave him an elbow in the ribs. Very gently.
Sounds like a severe fast.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
So catch us up on you. We have not been talking nearly enough as friends, nor have we nearly enough been talking professionally on shows.
Well, Peter, it's always a terrific time to connect with you. I always learn so much from our conversations and from your book on the global predators and just the whole sweep of your career. Your all your work in the decades have kind of prepared you for this moment in fighting the more concentrated version of tyranny that's always been there, of course, since Adam was wearing pants. There's always been a devil kind of mucking up the works and filling people with dread and fear.
But I want to emphasize that for 40 years, it's been with Ginger Bregan, and that our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, would not exist without her. And perhaps Peter Bregan would not exist without her. And I really mean that seriously. Mm-hmm. So I want to, because you and I were having this really good conversation, but Ginger is, she's with me inextricably for the 40 years, and want to just make me remind about that as long as I get to tease her afterward. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
yeah,
thank you.
The weekly podcast, The Patrick Coffin Show, drops every Tuesday. I'm well past 300 episodes. Before that, I spent 7.5 years in live Catholic radio, where I became extremely acquainted with all the debates and the arguments back and forth. And I had life-changing conversations with lapsed Catholics and atheists and Jews and Muslims and Calvinists and the whole brigade. As James Joyce said, here comes everybody. And I branched out on my own in 2016 and co-founded a community called Coffin Nation. If people want to find out more, it's coffinnation.com. The main site to connect with everything that I'm doing is the media site. That's patrickcoffin.media. And I interview influencers like Dr. Peter Bregan and Reiner Fumick and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and all of the main freedom fighters in multiple countries, especially in the last 2 years. I didn't know really you existed prior to 2 years, Peter. Interesting how my mentor, the professor of philosophy at Boston College, Dr. Peter Crate, said that feuding brothers reconcile when a maniac is at the door. And not that we were feuding brothers, but a crisis like this brings people up, almost up out of the concrete to help each other. Mm-hmm. And to be a support.
Absolutely.
A mutually dependent resource. So it's kind of a small miracle that people with so much in common suddenly are in the same room, having the same conversations, helping each other, building networks. So important.
It's an incredible blessing in a moment of deepest catastrophe to mm-hmm. suddenly find brothers at arms who you didn't even know personally or at all of their mm-hmm. existence. And then to suddenly find these other individuals, we've had that happen again and again yeah. in the last 3 years since the COVID began.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So there's 18 different ways we could start off.
I want you to start describing that meeting with the Pope.
Yes. Like,
that's a great introduction. It's a startling picture, because usually you see a picture of the Pope, there isn't somebody right next to him, like yeah. really connecting with him. And then there's a man standing a little bit behind, which looks like the security or a bishop.
Yeah, the very good question. The man in the background is Cardinal James Harvey, who's from a small town, I think a farm in Wisconsin. And his job for many, many years is to accompany the Holy Father in public visits and kind of be that gentle elbow nudger, like, time to go, time to move along, because there's a long lineup of humanity wanting to talk to the Holy Father. And so there he is, gently touching my arm. I had, by God's grace, met John Paul II in 2001, and I have a picture 14 years earlier of the same man giving the same elbow nudge. Kind of funny. But part of the reason why I came back to the practice of my Catholic faith was because of the writings of then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. Everything you read in the newspaper about Cardinal Ratzinger at the time was that he's God's Rottweiler. He's like the Panzer tank cardinal. He's very tough. He's very mean. And I was introduced to a book that he wrote in 1968 or so called Introduction to Christianity. And it was, I'd never read such clarity of thought. He was a deep thinker. He knew Greek philosophy. He knew history and literature. And it was just a whole garden of ideas I was never exposed to in a kind of a confused, low-information Catholic upbringing in Eastern Canada when I was growing up. And so that began a lifelong admiration for Cardinal Ratzinger's writing and for his work in defending and explaining the Catholic faith for over 20 years under Pope John Paul II. So when he was elected,
this is the man who became the next pope.
Yes, he was.
I'm a non-Catholic.
No problem. Yes, so he's the successor of John Paul II. In the mid 2000s, 2006, I believe, in April, he was elected. And once the cameras of the world's media began to follow this man around, they couldn't call him God's Rottweiler anymore, because he's like a lamb. He's like not a weak. Sort of a cross between a lion and a lamb, certainly not a Rottweiler. And when I got a chance to meet him in St. Peter's Square in April 2012, I was leading a pilgrimage that began in Rome. And thanks to my friendship with a very good man named Cardinal Raymond Burke, myself and my good late dad got basically front row seats. But what I didn't know was that was going to become a personal encounter. We were going to have, I didn't know, 5 seconds, 10 minutes, an hour with the Holy Father himself. I only learned when that moment unfolded. And we had about, I guess, maximum 10 minutes. It's hard to remember such a grace-filled moment, but I remember being so moved by how peaceful this man was. He was just exuded peace and contentment. He was a little tired that day, and unforgettable encounter. I have several photos of that moment, and I got a rosary from him, and he My poor dad sobbed for an hour afterward, just the emotion of meeting the Holy Father, this great man. He'd never really been to Europe before, my dad, who died 5 years ago. So that was a pivotal moment. And if I can fast forward to Jorge Mario Bergoglio, now known as Francis, I began to have doubts and deep concerns after March 2013, which is when the cardinals met and allegedly elected Bergoglio as Pope Francis. And it took me several years to begin putting pieces together about the nature of the conclave, the meeting of the electors that got him into the papal office. And then I discovered a book that was, the cover of which was screenshot to me last year, early last year. And it's called Pope Emeritus ? The Always Is Also a Forever. And it's written by a remarkable Colombian attorney named Estefania Acosta. And that book was like lightning in a bottle. She put all the evidence together that not only was the conclave invalid for various legal canonical reasons because of corrupt cardinals that wanted their man in the office, but that the renunciation itself by Pope Benedict on February 11th, 2012, 2013, excuse me, was not valid. It has errors in the Latin. It does not, and here's the key point, I call this the kill shot. Pope Benedict did not renounce the office of the papacy. What he renounced was the ministry of the papacy. In Latin, it's ministerium, which is the external functions of being the pope. So he renounced the ability to write papal encyclicals. He renounced the ability to appoint cardinals and so on. What he essentially did was create what's called an impeded see, where he retains the office and his quote-unquote successor, truly a usurper, would seem to be the external pope. I don't regard Francis as the legitimate pope of the Catholic Church because of the way that Benedict phrased his renunciation. In fact, it's even misnamed. It's called the Declaratio. If you go to Vatican.va, it's called the Declaratio, which means the declaration. It should have been titled the Renunciatio or the Renunciation. So let me contrast this with the only, I would say, global level resignation of a public figure was probably Richard Nixon in the summer of 1974. Everybody remembers, right? He gave the double peace sign and he steps onto Marine One and he flies away. He resigned with one sentence. Dear Secretary of State, I hereby resign the office of the presidency of the United States of America, Richard M. Nixon. Boom. No one doubts that he's still president. That is a legitimate renunciation of the office. Now, the word office in Latin is munus. It also means gift. That word is not present in the Declaratio. So imagine if Richard Nixon, after resigning, gets on Marine One, the helicopter flies around Washington and lands in the Rose Garden. And now Nixon calls himself the President Emeritus. And he still dresses like the president and he still stands at the presidential podium. People would be confused by that, right? Well, that's the situation we have in Rome right now, where Pope Benedict did not go back to Germany to study, which is what he's always wanted to do. What did he do? He retained the papal cassock, the white skull cap. He's called His Holiness. He signs his name with the official designation of the popes. He lives in a place called the Mater Ecclesia Residence, which is in the Vatican City, not 2,000 yards from St. Peter's. He gives the apostolic blessing. He is essentially the silent prisoner pope. And wow. I think he's going to, I mean, it's much cleaner and simpler if Bergoglio dies first, obviously, because then the impeded see can be revealed. But anyone, and I'm talking about non-Catholics now, good people, Christians or non-Christians, if you can't see that Jorge Mario Bergoglio, the former Cardinal Archbishop of Buenos Aires, is not in league with globalists and all of the enemies of humanity, I don't think you're paying attention. Because all previous pontiffs have been despised by CNN and NBC and the New York Times and the Boston Globe. They despise true Christians, right? This guy is their mascot. He's their hero. They're clearly in alliances. Why else would Bergoglio invite the CEOs of Moderna and Pfizer to a Vatican quote-unquote life conference featuring the guitarist from, I forget the guy's name, Joe Perry, ridiculous, Aerosmith, Chelsea Clinton, what on earth? How did this happen? Well, it happened because the man sitting on the throne in Rome is not the true pope. He has allied himself with all the enemies of every previous pontiff. That's the best way I can summarize it.
Talk a little bit about his alliance with communist China, which is stunning.
Yes, through his Secretary of State, Cardinal Parolin, Bergoglio, certainly threw the Catholic Church in China under the bus, forcing them even further underground. He made an alliance with the CCP in which the government apparatchiks would have a say in who becomes a Catholic bishop. Imagine, used to be you were Roman Catholic, you were in union with Rome, and no bishop would want to be under the authority of a communist dictatorship. Never.
Never.
And so there's a lot of suffering Christians, Catholics and Protestants in China that know what's going on, and they will never join the patriotic church, society there, the fake false church that Bergoglio has muscularized by legitimizing through some kind of deal. God knows how much money changed hands, Peter. That's another dark corridor of financial corruption.
Yes.
That you might want to talk to Elizabeth Yor. She has a lot of data on that. Liz Yor is an outstanding attorney who knows a lot about the money trail, as it were. John Paul II and Pope Benedict were always very clear in being stridently anti-communist, as all mm-hmm. Catholics have to be. Catholics can't even be socialists, Peter. It's oil and water. We don't believe in government control as communism rests upon. Communism is obviously a false religion. Its God is atheism. The individual means nothing. There is no such thing as individual freedom. There's no such thing as individual property. You are a bot. That's it. You are nothing but an instrument of the false god called the state. And Catholic popes since the mid 19th century have known this. As a matter of fact, right. Pope Pius IX, 10 years before Das Kapital was written, was already condemning communism by name. And here we have Bergoglio, who never met a communist he didn't want to praise in public.
That's amazing. We have just a few seconds before we go to our first break. And I just wanted to tell you that although I've known pieces of this, hearing you express it is like mind blown all over again. And I would like very much to ask you to describe further when we come back, describe further how this may have come about, because it sounds like there are internal coups and so forth going on that have brought this about, but I'd like to hear any of the information that you have, and we're going to go to break now.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse. Peter Bregan here and Ginger Bregan next to me. And we have the pleasure of seeing on our video, although my audience is going to be missing that. He's just a sweet looking man. You wouldn't know what a tiger he is. And his name is Patrick Coffin. And this is one of the people who we never would have met if we hadn't been fighting for freedom, which reminds me to remind all of you that if you're sitting on the fence, you're on a pointed object that's terribly uncomfortable, and you should just lift yourself off and join the liberty movement. Get in touch with Patrick Coffin. Look us up on Bregan.com. Get our newsletter, which is just amazing. Bregan alerts and get it on America Out Loud. Excuse me, get it on Bregan.com and go to America Out Loud. I just mentioned earlier that we have, there's just one good radio show after another. So I just tune in any time, and it's solid, it's well done, it's freedom oriented. And there are also great columns. Ginger and I do a column. Sometimes we do it together or we do it separately. Though our ideas are always, interacting with each other. And you'll get just quality columns. You can keep up with a lot of what's going on in the freedom movement and in the movement that is traditionally tied to the founding of this nation. And stay in touch with us in that manner. We're picking up, talking with Patrick Coffin about the popes and what has happened in this astonishing phenomena of globalism being so powerful, so infiltrative into all of Western civilization that Xi Jinping controls the current pseudo-pope. And it is just an astonishing situation, but it is characteristic of what's happening in the world, because the Chinese communists, for example, have heavily infiltrated the European Union and have a huge say over what's happening in the collapse of Western civilization. They have infiltrated every institution of the West. And we describe that in depth in our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. Our book really is much more than just a critique of globalism. Of COVID. It is, I think, and people agree, a lot of people agree, the deepest dive into globalism that's been written. And, we're going to be devoting more time to that and to globalism. And I want Patrick, as much as possible, to connect some of this stuff to globalism, including by what mechanism do you think that the, is it fair to call him the fake pope, the pseudo pope, has actually connected to the greatest enemy of Catholicism in the world, which is globalism led by communist China. And people don't know this. They do have an official religion. It's atheism. They've made it official. Mm-hmm. So let me give it back to Patrick, unless Ginger has something to add.
Nope. I'd love to hear more, Patrick.
Yeah, the notion of infiltration is the key. The Catholic Church makes a claim about itself that is astonishing, and either it's true or it's false. So it's kind of a binary proposition. And it parallels the claims that Jesus Christ makes about himself, namely that he's the only way to the Father, that he is essentially God, born of the Virgin Mary, and the Savior of the world. It's the most just about, looks like, oh no, sorry. Someone's outside my studio. So that the claim.
Invite him in. We have no objection.
No, it was a drop off. We can edit that out if you want. But welcome to live radio, folks.
Yeah, that's fine. So we don't edit humanity.
So the short version is that we believe the church has a divine foundation, and that is it's uniquely the repository of all the truths that Christ came and died and rose to give us. And the devil has always hated our Lord, has always hated God himself, and has always wanted to keep people in bondage. And so when you turn to what happened to the Catholic Church in the 20th century with the bloodiest persecution, more people have died for Christ in the last 100 years than in the previous 1900 years, an astounding set of attacks against Christianity. Wow. And then in the 60s, everything exploded even more. Now you have the sexual revolution. Now you have the redefinition of what love, sex, and marriage means. Now you have abortion and the availability of the contraceptive mentality, and you have no-fault divorce, and you have the mainstreamization of pornography. It all kind of came apart in the late 60s, not the early 60s. I think 65, 66 was the turning point. The Sound of Music was the Best Picture Oscar winner in 65. A Man for All Seasons, about a Catholic saint directed by a Jew, written by an agnostic. Wonderful movie, A Man for All Seasons. And then it all kind of came apart. And then we have the infiltration of what Catholics call modernism, with a capital M. Modernism is the synthesis of all heresies. It's basically word salad and complicated ways of subverting the truth to please worldly ears. So the gospel is redefined not as a spiritual program for eternal life and salvation, but an earthly kind of this world only, where you've got peace and justice and care for refugees, and you have environmentalism and the whole green movement. And what's left out of that is the presence of God and anything transcendent. Well, that is a natural partner for global communism, because they don't want anything transcendent. It has to stop with the state. And so the state controls everything. So when you remove God and you put in state, then you have control as opposed to freedom. And in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you had an alliance of modernists and Masons. Masonry is a very hidden part of this story. And I'll recommend a book by a guy called John McManus. It's called The Deep Church Revealed. And he does a pretty deep dive into the history of Masonic influence in the Catholic Church to subvert her teachings and to create alliances with people who are actually the enemies of God. And there's another group I'll mention here, because I think it's an important web connection, and it's called the St. Gallen Mafia, G-A-L-L-E-N. The St. Gallen Mafia is a nickname given by one of its members, whose name is Gottfried Daniels. He was the late Cardinal of Antwerp, Brussels, a very hard left ideologue, lined up against many of the teachings of the Catholic Church. And he was part of the cabal that worked back channel, sort of behind closed doors, to get Bergoglio to be the successor of Ratzinger. Ratzinger was always despised by the St. Gallen Mafia. By the way, St. Gallen is a town in Switzerland where these people met and planned to get their man in. They're sort of their Manchurian papal candidate into the papal throne. Cardinal Karl Lehmann, Cardinal Walter Kasper, the late Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, most of them are Eastern European leftists, okay? And they plotted and they planned. And they tried to do it in 2005 and 6, but it didn't work out. They got their enemy when Pope Benedict was elected. So when Benedict resigned the office, I believe he was criminally forced out. I think he's essentially a prisoner who knows exactly what his identity is as the true pope. They they vote blocked and they schmoozed and they got the assent of their man, Bergoglio, a complete dark horse. No one knew who this guy was. He has no intellectual footprint. He's published no books. He ruled the church in Buenos Aires for many years. And who is this guy? He's a dark horse. He's sort of like the papal equivalent of Barack Obama. Came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, he's on the news 24/7. And he's the world's media mascot. Well, ask yourself why. When John Paul II was elected in 1978, he went back to his native Poland, I think it was 9 times. Rapturous crowds followed him. A million people in the main square in Warsaw in 79, where he confronted Jaruzelski, who was the Soviet puppet, and a million Catholics. I get goosebumps thinking about this. We want God. We want God. And that was pretty much the end of communism there. And he went back again and again, and he strengthened the church, and he gave people hope. John Paul II passes away. He's succeeded by the German Joseph Ratzinger. Ratzinger goes back to his native Germany, I want to say 3 or 4 times during his years as Pope. We're 9 years into Bergoglio as Pope from Buenos Aires. He's been to Rio de Janeiro. He's been to Chile. He's been to Peru. He's been to Bolivia. He's never gone back to his own country. Why is that? Isn't that odd? I'll leave people to come up with their own conclusions why someone like that would want to stay away from their own country. Probably a combination of not wanting the bad press because he's not well loved there, and maybe something more sinister / legal is in play. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, but
just a study of contrast.
There is an identity issue too that we talk about a lot now, and that is that the globalists do not have a national or patriotic identification because their whole ideology is the global governance, the new global governance of which the current Pope belongs. And the Western globalists always do what he's done with the communists. They always suck up to the Chinese communists. And actually, one of their big motives always is money. And that's, again, with the Pope, they usually want to do business and they want to, get power, and they want to feel like they're a part of what's happening in the world. And they love authoritarianism because they can make more money that way. Bill Gates can do much business much more easily in China than he can in the U.S. is purely corrupt over there. There's no rules, regulations. There's nothing is run by the law. It's run by the Chinese Communist Party, whatever works for them, and they'll make deals and do whatever they want. It could be with Joe Biden. It could be with Bill Kerry. It could be with John Kerry, excuse me. It could be with just about anybody. So I think that's maybe one of the reasons is all the things you mentioned, but also a statement, I belong to the world kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. How else do you explain why Francis would describe the death jab as an act of love? He's still selling the so-called mRNA injections.
God knows how much money he got from Pfizer and Moderna and Bill Gates and everybody else. And
I've participated in protests on Catholic property. They've used church property as mobile vaccination units without giving proper consent. And they target low information Mexicans, I'm sad to say. People who some were pregnant women, and we would just gently walk up to them with a trifold paper. Here, you need to read this in Inglés o en Español before you make this decision for yourself and your kids. Do you think that the local authorities here were not making money from Pfizer and Moderna? Of course, they're not volunteers. We were there volunteering to protest. We drove a long way to help total strangers because we think it's the right thing to do. And then there's the matter of him shutting down all of Christianity, first time since 313 AD, when Easter and Christmas were basically canceled all over the world by edict of Bergoglio. Absolutely stunning counter message to the gospel. Catholics believe that Jesus Christ is uniquely present in the Holy Eucharist, not just as a symbol. And so isn't Jesus the healer of the world? Isn't he the light of the world? Don't we need him more now during a crisis? Why are we locked away from his presence when no one seems to care that we can handle vegetables in a grocery store? no one's squirting up vegetables in a grocery store, but you, to this day, it breaks my heart to see people squirting with the hands and being afraid of each other. Fear is never of God.
I had not heard that he participated in that. Give us some more exact information. Did he issue
an edict?
Edict or encyclical, whatever those things are called?
It was by fiat kind of down the chain of command in every country almost simultaneously that the church was not going to pose a serious threat to Caesar in every country. And if the state says jump, the church seems to have said how high. With some exceptions, there are some Catholics who were very much opposed to all of this and who stood up, and Protestants. A lot of my fellow kind of brothers and sisters in arms are Jesus-loving Protestants. I don't know what I'd do without them because they're so committed to the truth above all. But the lockstep obedience to this lockdown was very disheartening. And the segmenting of humanity into the masked and the unmasked, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. I had a conversation with Naomi Wolf about this. She was basically ejected from her own Reform Jewish synagogue. And she went to a local Catholic church just to check out, hey, what are the Catholics doing about this? And there it is. Masked versus unmasked. Couldn't believe it. As a Catholic, it's so heartbreaking. So yeah, it was because the church is unified or supposed to be under the Vicar of Christ in Rome. That's supposed to be a position of servant leadership, not of dictatorship, not of autocratic control in every country at once, but it happened. And I like to say that a crisis does not build character. It only reveals it. And a lot of certified good guys had mask drops in this crisis. And I don't want to shame anybody who didn't do the right thing because we need more people to kind of come back and open their eyes. But that's why I'm so grateful to speak with people outside my own fold, because we can't do this unless all of us are rowing in the same direction. That was a long answer, but I hope it connected some dots.
We've been just as people who know us at all know, I'm Jewish, Ginger's Christian, and we're both very God-oriented in a completely shared way. We're finding that the freedom movement in the health area, what we call the health freedom movement, as well as the broader freedom movement, which you're a part of and we're a part of too, that the representation of believing Christians who are really serious about being Christians is enormous. And even loving Christians who have loving marriages. We've never met so many people with loving marriages as we have in this movement. And it's really nice to see, and they enjoy seeing us. And how is the Catholic representation? I'm trying to think about it, and I don't know with certainty, but we have only about 40 seconds right now. We can look forward to your catching up. Give us a quick taste of what you think about that, and then we'll go to break.
Which part?
The representation of Catholics in the freedom movement.
Oh, well, you have Father James Altman, who was canceled by his own bishop. You have General Michael Flynn, who's now kind of formed a kind of alliance with Father Altman. You have Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas. You have Bishop Athanasius Schneider of Kazakhstan. So they're out there. You know, there's always that remnant of fighters.
Well, we'll end on that. When we come back, let's get a sense of what Catholics in general perhaps are feeling. We'll take a break now.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back to Patrick Hoffman. I'm smiling because he's making some sort of mysterious sign that I don't quite understand.
It was the Arabian peace sign.
The Arabian peace, not the Catholic, not the Jewish,
no.
Not the 60s movement. Okay. Did you get that, Ginge?
No.
Oh, okay. How do you think that compared to, well, I'll tell you, I'll talk about Jews since I'm Jewish. I mean, this pitiful lack of awareness in general in the Jewish community. We have some great Jews. I mean, Zev Zelenko, who's gone now, was such a leader and helped me get closer to God, and amazing man. And we were just talking with Harvey Riesch, whom we're beginning to call friend. We really feel close to him. But the Jews in general are drunk the Kool-Aid. You know, they are so into the progressive model. That there's very few compared to Protestants that we're aware of in particular in the freedom movement. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a sense of in general, I know there's some great Catholics that you mentioned before the break, but I don't have a sense in general whether the Catholics are stuck way over on the left like my fellow Jews, or whether there's more mixed going on there.
Well, I think the key distinction is the distinction between what the Catholic Church teaches and what most Catholics in the pew even understand as what the Church teaches. There's not a lot of overlap these days. And that disconnect between what the Church teaches and what people live out began to be confused in the 1960s. I keep going back to that era. 62 to 65 was the era of the Second Vatican Council. It's a global meeting of over 3,000 bishops, and they were trying to not update the gospel because the gospel is eternal, but to kind of modernize the voice of the church and make the relationship between the church and the world more friendly, which on paper does not sound like a bad idea, except in practice, very quickly, old distinctions between sacred and profane, between laity and clergy, between worldly and religious began to be blurred. And what ended up happening is a lot of Catholics, especially when the Mass was basically jettisoned, the traditional Latin Mass, which for centuries was a saint-making machine. I now go almost exclusively to the traditional Latin Mass. I love it so much. It's so elegant. It's so awe-inspiring. It's so reverent. And there's no liturgical abuse in it. You can go to the Latin Mass in Russia, in Ithaca, New York, in Miami, in Buenos Aires, anywhere, and it's the same words, beautiful sense of unity. Well, that beautiful liturgy was targeted by the same cabal of Masons, liberals, modernists, starting under Pope Paul VI in 1969. And what happened was you had a whole generation of Catholics beginning to leave the church, because what's special about the church? If they want to be like the Salvation Army or an NGO, why would I get up early on Sunday? I'd rather go golfing. So that disconnect began to happen. Mm. So I find that whatever Bergoglio is attacking, that's probably a source of light and truth. And one of his main targets now is the traditional Latin Mass. In July of 2021, he wrote what's called a motu proprio called Traditionis Custodis. I know, very, very memorable Latin phrase. But it basically banned the Latin Mass, put tremendous restrictions on its celebration. Now, what kind of Catholics go to the traditional Latin Mass? Well, they tend to have large families. They tend to be very generous financially. They tend to be very faithful to their wives. They tend to be very bold in their pro-life witness. They tend to be not shy to express their faith. They tend to love Bible-believing Christians. Basically, they're alive with the spirit of Jesus Christ, and they're not afraid. They don't care what people think about it. They make no bones about it. That's the tribe I hang out with. And not because I'm strong, but because I'm weak. I need to be surrounded by support. Jim Rohn famously said that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And so,
oh my.
So I think, of course, it depends on which parish you're talking about, but most Catholics, and by most, I mean 80% plus, are frankly clueless about what the sentence "I'm Catholic" really means. They don't really know how to finish the sentence "I'm Catholic because," and so there's obviously so much work to do on the part of Catholics for their fellow Catholics to get them to understand, look, you were bought and paid for here. You know, the sacraments were paid for by the life of Christ, and this can really help you. This can bring you sanity and peace of soul. As you probably remember, Bishop Sheen, kind of my spiritual father, Bishop Sheen, would talk about peace of soul. So there's always so much work to do. There's always so few hours in which to do it, it seems. But that's, I think, a quick thumbnail sketch. Catholics need to read their Bibles. They need to understand what the catechism means. They need to read the writings of the saints. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future.
Oh, I love that, Patrick. That's wonderful.
I have to confess, I did not make that up on the spot. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be interested in getting a hold of Retzinger's book on the Introduction to Christianity. I think that would be very interesting to read.
Have me look upstairs. We may have it. I have a couple of his.
I'm glad you brought it up because I have the URL and I'm building a website called BenedictOurPope.com, and all of his writings will be there, including Introduction to Christianity. So I'm building it now. I'm working with a great team to launch Benedict Our Pope, which will serve as a global hub for this debate, this evidence that the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, is the sovereign pontiff of the Catholic Church, and the reasons why and how I came to see this evidence, and how canonists and Catholic scholars around the world are starting to open their eyes to realize that you can't square the circle. You can't have someone gamboling through the church, making so much noise and causing so much destruction as Bergoglio has, and try to fit that into the papal mold. It won't work.
This is amazing. This is a freedom movement that you were part of, which is really a very, really important portion of the broader yearning freedom movement that is coalescing in the world right now since all our eyes were opened in 2020. But such a key aspect of the global freedom movement, what you're working on, Patrick.
Thank you. It's an honor. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I'll mention, if I could just mention one more, it's a brand new book in English by an Italian writer named Andrea Cionci, C-I-O-N-C-I. It's called The Ratzinger Code. And The Ratzinger Code is the summary of everything Pope Benedict XVI has said since his so-called abdication. Every public utterance, every interview, every written statement. And it's really fascinating how Pope Benedict has communicated with the flock the way Christ communicated through parables. If you have eyes to see, it's very clear that he knows he created an impeded sea. And what he couldn't fix, I mean, the guy was 85 plus when he left public life. What he couldn't fix, he featured by letting all of the contents of the sewer rise to the surface so it could be exposed. He didn't have the support in the Curia. Even the cardinals in Germany that you'd think would be natural allies despise him. You can go to YouTube, and this is going to be on BenedictOurPope.com. You can see the footage of his first visit as Pope to Germany on the tarmac at the airport in Munich. They won't even shake his hand. Very disturbing to see. And so he was surrounded by enemies, and he created this impeded sea so that if you have eyes to see, you're going to see that Bergoglio is a usurper.
I hope this isn't blasphemous, but that sounds a lot like Trump's experience. There's a parallel there.
There are certain parallels. It's interesting, Ginger, you bring this up. I hate Twitter. It's this just awful space, but I use Twitter to point folks to my show. My handle used to say, it was at Coffin Media, and I would say, fake Pope, fake president, fake vaccine, fake lockdown. We have all this fakeness all at once. I think there are some parallels between Biden and Bergoglio.
Yeah, parallels is the way to describe it.
Certainly they're bedfellows. Certainly they're allies.
Oh, yeah. We have about 8 minutes left, and I'm just thinking about these Germans refusing to shake their hand, the hands of the Pope. It's an interesting sign or signal, because I've been in situations like that when I was at the FDA meetings and doing a presentation, and I walked up to the head of the FDA at the time, Paul Lieber, and extended my hand to him, and I said, "I'm Dr. Peter Bregan." He said, "I know who you are." And he refused in front of everybody to shake my hand. Mm. It's a very symbolic thing. And I didn't do anything retaliate. And the same thing happened in Great Britain on one occasion when I was debating somebody and I met him in a bar first. He was one of the most powerful psychiatrists in England. Every 10 years, they would debate me in Great Britain and forget. Mm-hmm. And they forget what happened. And 10 years later, they do it again. And mm-hmm. he refused to shake my hand. And it was such an insult to me. I did retaliate, and he did not fare well in a debate with me. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think is going on in the minds of these people in the church and elsewhere or in anywhere? What do you think is going on in their minds when they meet somebody who is standing up for God, for freedom, for truth, for honor? Mm-hmm. Do you have any insights into that? I mean, this is like getting into real deep stuff, the deepest thing there is. What is going on in these hostile, wounded minds?
If you look at the proportion of people that were willing to stand up, Peter, it's very low. I read once that only 3% of the colonists were willing to actually take up arms against the British military. A lot of Marines will have a tattoo that says 3% because they realize they're that hardcore remnant. They're the ironclad warriors that are going out on behalf of the 97% and fighting. And hopefully the witness of those ironclad warriors will extend out to maybe 4%, maybe 5%. Courage is contagious. It's way more contagious than COVID. And if people just realize that you can't press pause on this life and it's going by so fast, why not just go all in? Why not just have a legacy where you stood up to evil so you can tell your kids and your grandkids, I did something. I didn't lie down. I think a lot of people, when they meet someone like you, Peter, or anyone that they've admired from afar, I think there's a bit of embarrassment that they want that for themselves, and they have regrets. And I think now is the time to just change your mind. Just get mm-hmm. take both gloves off. Has cowering worked for you? has the milquetoast shrinking violet, has that been successful? Because that's what bullies want.
And is the compromising, all the compromising been successful?
Just continually, what's the word? Accommodate. It's not quite the word I was looking for. Let them have their way.
How about a big one? Big word, propitiating.
Yeah,
big
propitiating word. Is good. Yeah. Yeah. Bullies need a bloody nose because inside a bully is a frightened child. That's why they have to lord it over.
You're amazing. You're just so eloquent. The bullies need a bloody nose. That is my experience since early childhood was they need a bloody nose. And if they know they're going to get one.
He used to always tackle the bullies.
Awesome. You know, there's a movie about this. I'll recommend. It's from 1980, starring Martin Mull and I forget the other guy's name. It's called My Bodyguard. Adam Baldwin is in it. It's all about bullies getting bloody noses and how it's really the only solution because you're just muscularizing the bully. And there are plenty of bullies around. And we need to gather together and stand up and say, nope, not on my watch. Put it this way. If 3% of people said, I'm not going to wear your mask on the plane. I'm not going to obey. That's too many people. They would have to shut the whole thing down.
So this is very important.
Doesn't take 50%. So don't look over your shoulder for some army. Be the army and people will follow you.
Yeah, this gets into something that Ginger and I have been working on with a great deal of effort. It started with one concept and then another. And it occurred to me that what we really need is to have people defying the terror they feel over assembling, the right to assembly, because the January 6th brutality has actually stopped freedom fighters from large demonstrations. I think they've just been so intimidated that they're having bigger demonstrations in Holland, little Holland, and other places than we're having, and in Canada. And that it's time for us to start doing peaceful assemblies all over the country, as large as possible, peaceful assemblies for freedom. We're not going to lead it. I don't want any leaders. Just start doing it spontaneously. Talk to your friends. Get out there and assemble and meet. And then Ginger came up with the notion of freedom flyers. So we have started now to write freedom flyers. The first one is out. It's about globalism. They're only one page long. They are free on our website.
They're for handing out.
For giving, handing out, putting them anywhere.
Putting them on windshields, passing them out at church, taking them to the mall. That's right. Leaving them in the small shops that are happy to offer them on their counter next to the cash register. Passing them out downtown or at sporting events on the Friday night high school football games. Passing out these flyers and making friends. You'll make friends while you do it. Yes, it's totally old school. It bypasses social media. It takes us out of what basically become those columns of like-minded thinking. If we're on Getter, we're talking to each other. Those of us, we're talking to those of us who already understand what's happening. We need to reach out in our own communities and connect to people and help give them that human connection, that face-to-face contact, and that contact of eye-to-eye and a smile.
I love it.
Really start to empower people through human connection.
That is anti-digital. The much-vaunted digital revolution. The digital revolution is now 100,000 echo chambers, and no one's listening to the other chamber.
Yeah.
So you go to, it's confirmation bias, right? You go to Twitter to have your views. Has anyone ever been converted by a cute meme? No. but if someone sees something in old-fashioned paper, they can have a conversation in the real world.
And I want to emphasize that the button where you can press it on Bregan.com is very obvious. And you can download the flyer and just pass it out. You can write things on it like your name and address to get in touch with other people if you want. We do not take a list off of it. We are not going to keep your name.
We don't have you give an email in order to obtain our flyer.
Yeah, that's the digital stuff I don't know about. But it's all it's independent of us. And it is actually co-sponsored by America Out Loud, which is what you are listening to right now. And Patrick Hoffman, God bless you. We know he has. And thank you so much for being our friend and for standing up for everything true.